scientism is not science. It's a dangerous and self-refuting philosophy that fixates on means but ignores wisdom.
Dr. Angus Manoogian of the Evangelical Philosophical Society talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And it leads to the abolition of man, as man is reduced to a material object. It's used as a weapon by atheists and skeptics to attack religion as a source of knowledge. It begins with Bacon's dictum, knowledge is power, but it overlooks the way in which power corrupts.
You can meet and hear Dr. Angus Manoogian making the case against scientism at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th, 15 miles east of St. Louis in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find a list of speakers, topics, and registration information at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Conservatism is not primarily about creating the shortest possible list of rules for how our society is governed, but is about preserving the permanent things, the things that should be conserved.
When you look at the cause of pro-life, it's organically related to what we say about who Christ is and why he came.
So you cannot in any way make some coherence out of Jesus and Muhammad. The distance between the two is the distance of infinity.
Homeschooling moms with piano beginners practicing in the house love Issues Etc.
Recently, the French president, Emmanuel Macron, addressed a group of French Catholic bishops. In the course of that address, he talked to them about the French policy, I guess you could call it, on secularism. He wanted to assure the bishops and French Catholics that this did not mean that they were excluded from the public square, that they were excluded from, well, in this case, voting. Now, some people view this as just a transparent attempt to pander to the Catholic vote facing re-election, but there may have been more to it. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery here in the first half hour of the program about the vote to legalize abortion in Ireland. We're going to talk about the U.S. State Department's International Religious Freedom Report and the French president's address to Roman Catholic bishops there in France. A little bit later, Terry Mattingly joins us for an update and his thoughts on the Me Too movement and the Southern Baptist Convention. We'll talk about sin and the distortion of masculinity as well. Alveda King will also join us to talk about what Starbucks should really do if they want to fight and end racism. She says it has to do with their funding of Planned Parenthood. Joining us to discuss the issues of the legalization of abortion in Ireland, the U.S. State Department's International Religious Freedom Report, and French President Emmanuel Macron's recent address to Catholic bishops, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, a regular guest. He's emeritus professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's professor at large with 1517, the Legacy Project, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and he's author and editor of more than 50 books, including his latest, Always Be Ready. He joins us from Strasbourg, France. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
It's always a pleasure.
First, your thoughts on Ireland's recent repeal of their Eighth Amendment to their Constitution that had ensured the rights of the unborn to life and, in effect, legalizing abortion in that country?
Well, I think it's most unfortunate, but it was inevitable. Some years ago, I debated successfully on the question of God's existence at University College Dublin. And in the discussion that followed, the students who raised questions were invariably people who had grown up in the Catholic Church and had left the faith entirely. And there's no doubt about the fact that the Roman Catholic Church, by being so right-wing and so traditional and so reactionary in Ireland has driven the majority of the populace right out of Christian faith entirely. The Irish situation parallels the French situation at the time of the French Revolution. It was because of the reactionary nature of the Roman Catholic Church that Christianity was associated with the negative side of the Revolution. And the Revolution then not only got rid of the aristocrats, it got rid of the influence of the Roman Church. And in Ireland, the blame falls directly on the Roman Catholic Church for its reactionary approach to things. And this is such a tragedy, because what happens is, in situations like this, that the baby is thrown out with the bathwater. It isn't that people simply reject the Roman Catholic Church and go to another denomination. It's a situation where they dump the Christian faith as such because of this sort of thing. Ireland was actually the last country of Europe that maintained an anti-abortion position. It's the only country of Europe that mentions God in its constitution. So the history is on the side of Christian faith, but the current Irish situation is another tragedy that has followed from the reactionary nature of the Roman Catholic Church.
I also wanted your thoughts on the recent release of the State Department's report on religious liberty. What did you find there to pique your interest, if anything?
Well, I was especially interested in seeing what countries were labeled as persecuting and as not making religious freedom available. And the fact of the matter is that that report is very similar to what Amnesty International reports. And one of the interesting facts about this is that everyone has condemned Trump, for example, for getting out of the treaty with Iran, all right, the nuclear treaty with Iran. The fact of the matter is that the media, especially in the United States, are so anti-Trump that they don't face the fact that Trump at least recognizes the horrors of religious persecution and the horrors of an anti-liberal reactionary approach of governments throughout the world, which other countries do not necessarily understand. Iran, for example, there is overwhelming evidence that Iran simply went ahead and continued its nuclear activities in spite of the treaty. They lied. They lied like a rug. And Trump recognizes this and is unwilling to tolerate that kind of thing. And it seems to me that even though he certainly has many obnoxious characteristics, we should recognize that every once in a while he's right. And in the case of his opposition, for example, to the arrival of vast numbers of immigrants from Middle East countries that are Muslim in background, those countries happen to be the major persecutors of other religious positions. There is no question about this at all. Christian countries are not engaged in the persecution of people who maintain other religious positions, but the Muslim countries will not allow for anything but their own belief system. And this is directly contrary to international human rights. It's against the international covenants that they subscribe to, but of course they don't pay any attention to them. So it seems to me that these reports are a further indication of the fact that if you want persecution, the best place to go is into a Muslim context. That's where you're going to have anybody who isn't a Muslim, or often, if one isn't a member of the Muslim party, a Shiite, for example, you're going to find the maximum persecution in those contexts. And we ought to recognize this, and we may not like Trump, but in this case, he's absolutely right.
On a third subject, I was curious why there in France was the prime minister's, the French president, Emmanuel Macron's recent speech to Catholic bishops considered so very controversial?
Well, it's because he said to the bishops that Christians ought to be more active politically and they ought to speak in terms of their values. Now, that had been said by some past presidents as well. Sarkozy, for example. But the left in France is committed to what they consider to be an absolute separation of church and state. And they, for this reason, if any president speaks out suggesting that Christians open their mouth, that is immediately considered some kind of a violation of the separation of church and state, which, of course, it isn't at all. It's interesting to contrast the background of the separation of church and state in the U.S. and in France. In the U.S., this came about in order to keep the government from interfering with the church. The Puritans and the Pilgrims had had it with the British government imposing Anglican values on their religious viewpoints. And so in the United States, very soon, the notion appeared that we need to separate church and state to keep the government off our backs. Now, in France, when separation took place much, much later, 1905. It came about for exactly the opposite reason. It came about to keep the Roman Catholic Church from influencing and creating problems for the state. It was to keep the church from dominating the state, not to keep the state from dominating the church. And therefore, in France, the left, the left wing, politically, has always had a reaction when any public servant suggests that Christians ought to speak up. And, of course, they can speak up without it in any way violating the separation of church and state. And fascinatingly enough, in France, in our part of France, in the Alsace, there is still state religion, because that goes back to a concordat that was entered into when the Alsace was part of the German Empire. And therefore, where we live, for goodness sake, the government pays the salaries of Lutheran clergy and Calvinist clergy, Roman Catholic clergy, and Jewish clergy. So, really, it's unfortunate that Macron has gotten this sort of criticism, but it's the kind of thing that's expected in a context like this.
What is this? Now, the press piece I saw about it called it a liberal understanding of the secularism in France. But what is this notion of secularism in France that Macron seems to want to impress upon the bishops does not preclude Catholic involvement in French politics?
Well, it is simply the notion that the state is officially neutral. The term in French is laïcisation, laicism, all right? The state is officially neutral, and for that reason, individual believers who are not neutral may certainly express themselves. That doesn't mean that the government is going to take the view of a particular religious position at all. And he's quite correct in this. And there is this knee-jerk reaction on the part of the left that any time anyone suggests that it's okay for Christians to enter into the political arena and have an impact, that that is somehow going to go back to the days of the Ancien Régime when the Roman Catholic Church dominated everything. And it's ironic also, of course, because the Roman Catholic influence in terms of the number of Roman Catholics in the population is continually diminishing. The churches that are growing are churches that are evangelical and dynamic in their presentation of the gospel, not the churches that are more traditional.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We are talking about French President Emmanuel Macron's recent address to Catholic bishops. When we come back, the implementation of secularism that ends up being an awful lot like a religion. We've got it here in the U.S. Do they have it in France as well?
Well, I think one thing we're going to do right out of the gate is define what pro-life is.
Scott Klusendorf talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That term is now being confused. It's being put up for grabs, and we're going to make clear what the pro-life syllogism is, how we can make that case for life with people who don't accept biblical authority, who maybe don't even know what it is we stand for and are subject to being confused. So there's a crying need to clarify what pro-life means, what our actual arguments are, and then we'll look at five bad ways people argue against the pro-life case in the public square so that we can be prepared to give good, solid, Christ-honoring answers.
You can meet and hear Scott Klusendorf making the case for life at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Learn more about conference speakers and topics and register at issuesetc.org.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th century.
Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal.
The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We're talking about French President Emmanuel Macron's recent address to Catholic bishops and secularism in France. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Dr. Montgomery, to the subject of secularism here in the United States, we have, while it's purportedly a neutral position, secularism often takes on the characteristics of a religion itself. Why do so few, and I suspect the same is true in France, why do so few secularists actually realize the religious nature of their secularism?
Well, I think it's probably because of the atmosphere that's been created largely by the media. You're absolutely right that these leftists have turned secularism into a religion. And what they're trying to do is to impose that. And nobody, you know, seems to have the common sense to see this. If you really do have a neutral playing field, then that means that somebody who wants to promote atheism can certainly argue for it, but he cannot expect that that's going to become something normative or supported by the state. And he can't expect the schools to advocate anything like that. And yet, the criticisms always seem to come down on the Christians, even when they are very, very mild about all this. Incidentally, Macron is a very interesting fellow in himself. I don't know if the radio audience has followed much of this, because in the U.S., foreign news is not exactly featured. But for years, the politics in France were dominated by either the right or by the left, by the left political party or the right political party under various names. And finally, people got sick of this, and in this last election, they did not vote for the Republicans at the right or for the leftists at the other extreme. Instead, they voted for Macron, who came in as an independent candidate. He had been a member of the previous government, the Hollande leftist government, but he was never leftist at all. And he created his own party, which now dominates the parliament. And therefore, he's been able to vote in desperately needed measures. For example, measures to change the labor code, which has created tremendous problems for business owners, because you can't fire anybody, for goodness sake. The labor unions have been behind the old French labor code, and nobody who was head of the government, for regardless of whether they were right or left, dared to oppose the labor unions up until Macron. And Macron has altered the labor code, and right now we're subject to strikes right, left, and center in France. But these are diminishing, and only the far-left labor unions are still able to bring about these strikes. So Macron has already accomplished something that nobody else had been able to accomplish for generations. As to his religious position, by the way, he was confirmed by his personal choice when he was a youngster. And at the present time, he doesn't seem to be a practicing Roman Catholic, but he talks about how he believes in transcendence, which we hope is simply a synonym for God. But it's hard to say. In any case, he is infinitely better than the previous president, Hollande, who lived with his mistress, for heaven's sake, who never even married, and who was, just to the left of Genghis Khan.
Macron seems to have, or at least seems to be able to communicate the need for Catholic involvement in the politics of France based upon their, he called it their contribution or their commitment to the common good, or maybe we might extend it to the fact that the Roman Catholic voter may provide a moral compass in a largely secularized society. Is that true?
Oh, yes. Yes, very definitely. And you see, by his stressing the moral compass aspect of the thing, it sort of moves it away from too much theology toward ethics and so on. So this is smart from a political standpoint. But the fact of the matter is that people are gun-shy in France of Christians speaking out as Christians, as such. That's got to change, because the fact of the matter is that you can't sustain a Christian ethic apart from Christian theology. If you try to do this, you're living off of inherited capital, and it just doesn't work. That's why it's so important in any country where there's separation of church and state that the Christians be vocal and that they push for biblical values. Now, that's not the same thing as a kind of Calvinist imposing of these values, but it's using common argument with the non-Christian to show that the Christian approach is better for everybody. I mean, on something like abortion, we started on that, something like abortion. The evils of abortion are so evident and obvious that they can be presented by Christians and non-Christians can be persuaded that abortion is a dreadful notion which will imperil human life not only at its beginning, but the same kind of approach will be taken at the end of life. Abortion connects with euthanasia, it connects with genetic manipulation and all sorts of violations of the dignity of the human person. Arguments like this desperately need to be presented, and they won't be presented unless people have the foundational theology that will infuse the way in which they deal with the non-Christian.
Have the secularists in France, in fact, done exactly what you have just said? Have they benefited and perhaps unconsciously drawn on Christian capital?
Oh, heavens, yes. I mean, in the Middle Ages, France was considered the most Christian of all Western countries, and the fact of the matter is that has influenced the lives of people, of everybody in France. And, you know, it's very interesting. We've lived in a number of different countries, and the kindness, the graciousness, the way in which people treat each other in France is very rare to find elsewhere. And the reason for that, well, just one example of this, instead of a class system existing here, everybody is referred to as Monsieur or Madame. And when you go into a restaurant, you greet the other people even though you don't know them, and you acknowledge them as you leave the restaurant. There are little things like this that are ways of expressing the fact that you recognize other people as human beings on the same level as yourself. And that derives from a doctrine of creation, even when a person would not affirm that doctrine in any formal theological sense.
Make the case, if you would, in a more general sense, Dr. Montgomery, of why Christianity is superior as a worldview. And to tie it together with the other subjects we've discussed today, superior as a foundation for human rights?
Well, only in Christianity do you have a revelation from God, a validated revelation from God, in which he tells you that you are a creature of his, and therefore you are of infinite value. That's present from the beginning of the Bible, from Adam and Eve right on to the final judgment. And not only does he reveal the importance and the significance of his creatures, but he comes to earth and he dies for them, which he did not need to do. He could have left them in their misery. They had caused this problem themselves. But instead of leaving them in that condition, he sacrifices himself for a fallen human race. Now, no other religion has anything approaching that. We haven't got the time to go into other religions, but in Islam, for example, God is a distant, transcendent deity. He is not in any central way a God of love. He is a God of absolute justice, in the sense that, you know, he weighs your good and your bad at the time of your death, and you either go to heaven or go to hell on the basis of what you've been able to accomplish or achieve. And in religions like Buddhism and Hinduism, everything is so vague that you can't even identify that you are a creature of God. So if you examine the religions of the world and you compare them with Christianity, the one religion that offers a solid basis for human rights is Christianity. And human rights have arisen directly in a Christian context. Take a look at my book, Human Rights and Human Dignity, on this, or Al Schmitt's book, How Christianity Changed the World. The evidence is overwhelming. And therefore, when the secularist thinks that that he's going to accomplish something in the human rights area by dumping Christianity, He's crazy. The result is always exactly the opposite. The worst human rights violations in human history have been carried out by atheistic and non-Christian regimes. Nazism, Marxism, Pol Pot in the Far East, Amin Dada in Africa. You know, this is an overwhelming historical fact, and it's just a shame that people who think that they are being, objective, are not paying attention to these data.
Before we let you go, Dr. Montgomery, tell us a little bit about the 2019 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights.
Well, the first thing to note about it is, that's 2019, that's a year from now, the first thing to note about it is that half the places are already subscribed, and we take only 20 people each year. Therefore, listeners should sign up for this and not delay at all. There are only 10 places left. We cannot take more because of the physical facilities that are available to us here in Strasbourg. This academy is the only Institute of Advanced Studies in Apologetics anywhere. Four experts each summer present the evidence for the faith in those areas where the faith is most criticized. And so when people return home from the program, they are in a position not just to present the gospel, but to defend it over against the arguments that will inevitably be presented. I'm very much convinced, by the way, that the reason that people don't evangelize, do personal evangelism, is that they're frightened to death that they're going to be asked questions and they have no answers. So coming on this two-week program in the French Rhineland, a wonderful area, you will learn how to handle those issues. And in 2019, not only will Professor Craig Parton and I be teaching half the program, but the other half of the program will be taught by the foremost French apologist who speaks a superb English. His name is Gérard Pech, P-E-C-H, and John Feinberg, who is the chair of biblical studies at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, and John Feinberg is a specialist in the area of right to life. As for Pesch, by the way, he has just finished the translation of my Tractatus into French, and that's going to be published and available by the time of the program, along with, oh gosh, some 60 titles of works that are of direct relevance to the defense of the faith.
Folks, you can learn more about the 2019 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Emeritus Professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's Professor at Large with 1517 The Legacy Project, Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. He's authored and edited more than 50 books, including Always Be Ready. Dr. Montgomery, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
When we come back, Terry Mattingly is with us. We're going to talk about the Me Too movement and the Southern Baptist Convention. Stay tuned.
What does it mean to be a man? More importantly, what does it mean to be a man of God? In its June issue, The Lutheran Witness aims to help readers dig more deeply into the Bible's vision of men set free. Free to be loving husbands, caring fathers, bold proclaimers of the gospel, and self-sacrificial images of Jesus Christ. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Most Christian schools today use the same books, teaching methods, and structure as America's failing anti-Christian public schools. We owe it to our fathers and descendants in the faith to offer a distinctively Lutheran education. Redeemer Classical School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, offers a time-tested education in the great books of the Western world and the Catechism and Confessions of the Lutheran Church. Visit fortwayneclassical.com to learn more about our curriculum, enroll your children, or sponsor the education of young Lutherans. That's fortwayneclassical.com.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. The Issues Etc. 300.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. Edgruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Are you a high schooler who enjoys theology? Do you know a high schooler who would make a good pastor or deaconess? Every summer, Concordia Theological Seminary offers programs for vocational discernment and theological education for high school students. Check out Christ Academy and Phoebe Academy this summer, June 17th through the 30th. Registrations open now. Email us at christacademy@ctsfw.edu or register online. Christ Academy at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, June 17th through the 30th.